You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word, for what it means to us to be led and guided by, Father, your hand, your voice, God. And we thank you, Father, that you can challenge us with something today. Lord, and let us walk away with something of your word, some revelation that we didn't come in here with. Give us something that's practical, something that can be applicable in our lives, that as we go, that you can go with us. And that we can be carriers of your anointing. In Jesus' name, everybody said. Amen. Well, we started this series last week about what's the point. And we're going to continue in that because we're talking about the why behind worship. It's great when we can lift our hands and we can sing a beautiful song about the Lord. But it's important to know why that we do what we do. And this particular sermon, I entitled Seasons. And so I'm so happy to have my wife up here to talk about worship with me again. It's all right. You can give her a hand. She's some people that they sounded like they want to go for it, you know. You know, when I look at the life of David, I see different seasons that happen. And I know in our lives we have different seasons that we go through. Some amazing seasons, some difficult seasons. Some seasons are even devastating. And then other seasons, we're walking in the blessings of God. And so I want to talk about four seasons of David's life that he exemplifies how to worship in each and every one of those seasons. And I want to encourage you today, no matter what you're going through, if you're at a great place, if you're at an in-between place, if you're at a bad place, you can still find a way to worship. And so It's with that that I'd like to bring us here to 1 Samuel 16. I love David because he shows us such a great spectrum of things that he goes through in his season. This is the first time we're introduced to David. It's in 1 Samuel 16. And the big prophet is coming to town, Samuel. And he's a national celebrity. And he's coming and this is so amazing for the town of Bethlehem to receive this amazing prophet. What does the Bible say? Oh, little town of Bethlehem. So this is a big, big time prophet coming to a little city. No, this is not a prophet. This is the prophet, Samuel. And so he comes and he honors a specific household. He honors Jesse's house. He says, I'm going to come to your house. Get all your family together. I want to give a special honor to one of your sons. So get all your sons together. And so Jesse does that. Anybody ever feel like you were left out of the party? Somebody was doing something and you were just kind of overlooked. This first season of David's life, I like to call it overlooked. Anybody ever felt that way? And so David wasn't invited to the party. David wasn't invited to be among the sons. He was the eighth son. And so we'll just leave him out with the stinking sheep. And probably this doesn't have anything that applies to him. Anybody ever felt like you were out with the stinking sheep when other people were in the AC? You were out in the hot sun working. And so David is at this place where he's not offered a seat at the table. And I could only imagine, you know, just always feeling like you're last in line, always feeling at the bottom rung. But David, can you just picture David out there with the sheep, and he just takes out his harp and he just says, I'm gonna worship God anyways. You know, there's something awesome happening back at the house. Somebody's getting the honor. Somebody's getting treated special, and it's not me. They didn't even think I was worth inviting, but I'm just going to worship God anyways, because I know that God has not overlooked me.
That's right, and I know some of you have felt that feeling. I know I felt that feeling in life at certain points, and I'm always for the underdog. You know, I'm always cheering. I like things to be fair. So I believe that God is the same way. He cheers for all of us. He loves us all the same. And so the great thing I think about David is just the fact that he always found a way to worship. And at this time, this scripture I'm about to share with you, the king was Saul. So 1 Samuel 16:18, one of the servants, and before I say that, Saul had fallen out of favor with God. And so now he was being tormented by this spirit. And you'll see what happens next. One of the servants said to Saul, "One of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he's a brave warrior, a man of war, and has good judgment. He's also a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him." I'd like us to take note that he said all those things, and the last phrase was, "and the Lord is with him." I think that's the thing we want to emphasize here. Then Saul sent word to Jesse asking, which is the father, "Please let David remain in my service, for I am very pleased with him." And whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp. Then Saul would feel better, and the tormenting spirit would go away. So here David went from being somebody who was overlooked to all of a sudden, king gets the word that when he, maybe you should be in the presence of this young man, when he plays, it'll be soothing to you. But the missing link is what? He's not just playing. He's worshiping, right? So when he worships, there's such a presence. It causes peace in Saul. And I think the note here that I want us to take away is that his worshiping made room for him. And his worshiping made room for others. How many times do we forget that? You know, we sometimes like just throw worship like it's not that important. You know, we try to put other things first or say, well, I came to church, I did my part, I sang a couple of songs. But let me tell you something, when you can engage in worship, there's something that begins to happen. There's this favor that you begin to experience because of dwelling in the presence of God. It is a natural byproduct. So his consistency in his worship in those times where he felt overlooked and brought him to the place that he is now, where he's before the king, and the king is now favoring him.
So I just love that. Whenever you feel that you're at a place where you're being overlooked, where you're not being treated right, to be able to stop and say, you know what, I'm going to worship, and allow the worship in your life to open doors for you. The second season that I see here in David's life is in 1 Samuel 18. He's on the run. And this is a bit later in David's life. We see that, you know, he gets promoted. He gets this great gig. He's a harp player, right? And so the top gig in the nation, he's playing in the courts of the king. You know, I could just see him with his little sectioned off area. He's playing his little solos, right? He must have been like a really amazing musician as well as an amazing worshiper. So he's there in the courts of the king. He's got this major promotion. He's getting paid well. And then one day, you know, everything's going great until everything's going terrible. How many have ever seen that in your life? It's like everything's going great and then somebody throws a spear at your head. And so David is there. He's just doing his job, trying to do his job to the best of his ability. And then out of nowhere, just the devil gets in Saul. Has the devil ever gotten your boss? Okay. So I'm telling a story you know about. All right, good. I just want to make sure, you know. So the devil gets in David's boss, and David has to go on the run. Anybody ever felt like you're dodging bullets at work? All right. He was dodging spears at work, and so he has to go on the run. Just when he thought he was getting his life together, he was getting his career on track, right? He goes on the run. But here's the most amazing thing. Even though David's on the run, David still finds how to worship in that season of his life. I think that's amazing because, you know, sometimes when we get on the run, we get overcome with fear. Yeah. Can I get an amen? Because, You know, sometimes you're just so consumed with running away from whatever's in your life, running away from circumstances that feel like they're beating the heck out of you, that you feel like you don't have the strength to worship. You're just like, man, I did my best just to make it to church today, you know? Or, you know, maybe it's Sunday and you just pull the covers over your head and don't even come to church because you're having one of those type seasons. But David, the thing that was different about David was he found a way to get outside of his circumstances and say, you know what? In the natural, I may be running. I may be on the run. But in the spirit, I can worship. And I can connect with a different reality. And I can bring some of that reality. I can begin to bring some of that reality into right now. My life may be messed up right now. Maybe people are looking to take me out, to hurt me, to do harm to me. But I can connect in worship to a different reality and begin to bring that reality into my now.
You know, for some of us, it might be a person, and opposition can look in many different ways. It can look like a person. It could look like a family member. It could look like somebody at work. It could look like Facebook. You know, it's so ridiculous. You know, people are behind a keyboard and they're saying ugly things, you know, but whatever it is, it could be a doctor's report, a negative doctor's report that you're trying to run from. When the thing that we have to grab a hold of is that our worship cannot be conditional upon what's going on around us. His love is unconditional for us. I believe the very least we can give back to him is unconditional worship. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what I'm facing today. I know that you're faithful, God. I know that you're good. And I mean, isn't it like the enemy? He's done this for so long from the beginning to make you question the nature of God. That when you're in your low point, he'll say, well, did God really say that he would heal you? Did God really say that your son or daughter would come back home? Did God really say that he was going to help you with your finances, that you would be the head and not the tail? Did God really say not to eat from the fruit? You see how it's been all along. And if he can get us like off track and get us to question who he is, I think about the fact, if you really study David's life, he was so faithful. And I believe that's why God had such favor upon him, because David's love for him was so unconditional. But if you realize, he fell in love with the daughter of Saul. So Saul ended up becoming his father-in-law. His father-in-law was after him, was angry with him. This man lived with somebody who wanted to kill him. I don't know that many of us in this room have that type of opposition where somebody's out for your life like that in the natural. You know, we know in the spirit, there's always something, you know, that you have to be protected from. So the thing is, if you can learn from his example that it doesn't matter what you're facing in a person, in a situation, God is still sovereign. God is still good. God still loves us. He's not looking to, you know, sometimes the enemy also likes to get us like, well, God is upset with me, so that's why these things are happening, or I must have done something wrong, or whatever it is. You know, those are all lies. The truth is that God is good. God loves us. He wants to bless us. He wants to see us succeed. Just because we've been through some things does not mean any of those things have changed. And I really believe that. And we've been through some things ourselves, and we know, and we've known the feeling of being in the valley and saying, where are you, God? But we know that he's there. And if you keep on pushing, and if you keep on standing on the word, this is why it's so important to know the word. You can see yourself through those seasons, not see yourself, but God will encourage you through those seasons.
So we see that even though he's on the run, then he begins to worship, and God begins to bless him even while he's on the run. He gets, men start coming to him. He starts becoming a person of honor, a person of, and even when he has to flee the country and become a refugee because he's still on the run, God is still able to bless him in the midst of his circumstance. How many people are ready to be blessed in spite of your circumstances? You see, David, through his worship, was able to be blessed in spite of his circumstances. So even though temporarily you may be on the run, God can still bless you while you're running. Amen? So he begins to be blessed. He begins to find favor in a different country. He's with the Philistines, and then this next season I call it discouraged. You could call it a lot of things, but 1 Samuel 29:30. This is where David's starting to reestablish himself. He's starting to again. He's got a new job now, right? He's the champion of Gath, right? He killed Goliath, and now he is the champion of Gath. He's run to refuge in Gath, and so he's there. He's starting to be rebuilt, but then he gets invited to this great battle, and for warriors, for soldiers, it's a great honor and it's a great payday to go to battle. If you're a soldier and you don't go to battle, you don't get paid. So this is his big payday, the biggest battle probably that he's been involved in up to date. And so he's going there, and then when he gets to the job, they say, "Oh, we don't want you. We're letting you go. You're fired." Anybody ever been there? Right. You thought you had the job. You thought you were on the right track, and then when you get there, you face rejection instead. And so David gets there. Now the Philistines don't want him to fight with them. They send him home. So he's going home. His men are going home. They're discouraged. But I'm not just talking about one discouragement. I'm talking about discouragement normally comes in waves, right? There's discouragement and discouragement. So they're already down, and they get back home to Ziklag, and when they show up, they kind of turn the corner and come around the corner, and their houses are burnt down, and their families are kidnapped, and their stuff is stolen. Everything. Now, not only did they face career defeat, they just came back to fight it on the home front too. So now David gets discouragement after discouragement after discouragement. Isn't that like the enemy? He doesn't just attack you from one side. He tries to hit you from all sides. You got family issues going on. You got financial issues going on. You got career issues going on. You've got rejection. And so he's there. He shows up, and he's discouraged. And now his friends start turning on him. He's got friends problems now. Not just family problems. They want to kill him. They don't like him anymore. And David, as he's sitting there, and they're all crying, David pulls out his worship. And he begins to encourage himself, the Bible says, in the Lord. Well, I believe when David encouraged himself, he encouraged himself in the way that he knew how, which was worship. So even though he was discouraged, even though he was devastated, even though it looked like everything was being ripped out of his life, he said, "I'm going to worship. I'm going to encourage myself with worship." Can I tell you, you're never going to get to the place of blessing until you learn to worship in the middle of the storm. That's the problem a lot of times as Christians. We're waiting for one glad morning when God pours out this super duper blessing on us. And we say, "Man, we're going to dance down the street with the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to be dancing and praising, and we're going to have money in our pockets, gold chains around our necks, and everything's going to be great." You can't get there until you learn how to worship in the storm. So David begins to worship. His house is burnt down. His family's kidnapped. His friends are turning against him. He's been ashamed. He's been dishonored on the battlefield. He's got all these emotions, and he's crying. And he stops crying, feeling bad for himself, and starts crying out to God. And something starts to change as he begins to worship.
Trying to hold it together here, man. Mess me up for a second. The principle is God is moved by faithful worship. Can you imagine what went through the heart of God at that moment when David had lost almost everything and he turns to God and just starts to worship? I mean, when I think about that, I'm just like, God, I want to be like that. I really do. I believe that it's such a good example of the unquestionable trust of God. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. There's a song that we used to sing. It's called the Desert Song. And it would say, this is my prayer in the desert when all that's within me feels dry. This is my prayer in my hunger and need. My God is the God who provides. I will bring praise. I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. You know, I remember, to some people this might seem trivial. To those of you that had to fight for your mate, you will relate. I remember when God spoke to me so clearly that this was my husband. There was a season after that where I had to wait. There was 2 years before it actually manifested completely. In that waiting period, it was the longest 2 years ever. And just like I said before, the enemy will always come to test your word, to test your faith. And I began to question, did I really hear from God? Was that really my word? And then I had to go back to that moment, go back to Bethel and say, you know what? This is what I remember. I know my God's voice. I know what I heard and I'm sticking to it, you know? And so many times we get so sidetracked with everything else that we lose sight of who God is and what he wants for us. He wants that relationship with us. He wants to give us our heart's desires. He wants to bless us. He wants to commune with us in his presence. So I want to read you this scripture that David, this is so great. David said, save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold. I am deep in deep water and the floods overwhelm me. How many of you have ever felt like that? I am exhausted from crying for help. My throat is parched. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me. Those who hate me without cause outnumber the hairs on my head. Many enemies try to destroy me with lies, demanding that I give back what I didn't steal. But I am afflicted and in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high. So he just went into a very honest conversation with God. Watch how he ends this. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. What love for the maker. You know, when I start to not, if I ever get to the place where I'm not moved by the presence of God, it's a big warning. If you come in here, and you get into the presence of God, and you're not moved at all, something is up. God wants to meet with each and every one of us. I have such a desire to help people see that. I have such a heart's cry to help people know who they are to God. God loves you so much. And if you're not experiencing him the way that you hear other people talking about it, today is the day to really embrace what he has for you. And we still have one more season. I don't want to fast forward.
And I love what David also says in Psalm 34:1. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. With us talking about seasons, David is basically saying he had this type of mentality. In every season, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. And he really exemplified that in whatever season he was in. He said, I'm going to bless the Lord. And the reason why we should bless the Lord is because you never know when that season of blessing is coming. Oftentimes that that the toughest, most difficult season is right before the blessing. Okay, I want to, can we go back here to Ziklag? He's here. Everything is devastated. Everything is destroyed. House burnt down. Family kidnapped. Stuff stolen. Could you imagine going home and all your stuff is gone and your house is burnt to the ground? Everybody that you know and love has been kidnapped. And he begins to worship. And then he says, after he worshiped for a little bit, he said, you know what? I feel God encouraging me. Bring out the ephod. Let's ask God what to do. You see, the problem is, we've been asking ourselves what to do when we get in the midst of trouble. When we get in the midst of devastation, you're not going to know what to do. But David, he said, first I'm going to worship. I'm going to get encouragement. Then I'm going to ask the Lord. You see, sometimes I think we're trying to ask the Lord before we've even worshiped and set the tone. Set the atmosphere to ask the question. And David said, what should I do? Should I go after my stuff? And God says, go. You will surely pursue. You will overtake. You will get everything back. You will get everything back. And that's not it. When he gets all the stuff back and he comes back, he gets word that Saul died on the battlefield. And God gives him the call and says, go down to Hebron. Go down to the capital of Judah. It's your time. It's your time to be king. In the midst of these ashes and these ruins, in the midst of discouragement, he worships and then he finds himself walking into a completely different season. The season of blessing, the season of manifestation, the season that 15 years ago he was promised and prophesied that he would be the king. And then for 15 years, being on the run, being disappointed, being overlooked, being condescended to, being dishonored, being on the run, having bad bosses. But he kept at it. He kept worshiping. He said, in every season I'm going to worship. Every season I'm going to find a way to lift up my hands and say, thank you, God. I don't understand all this that I'm going through, but thank you, God. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. It's easy for us to remember the picture of David dancing down the streets, bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. But we forget about all the other seasons that he worshiped in. When he was alone and overlooked with the stinking sheep, worshiping God by himself with a harp. Promoted, demoted, on the run for his life. Still had his worship. Still found a way to worship. Devastated, dishonored, stolen from. Family crisis, worship. Friendship crisis, worship. In every season, worship. The secret of David's life was worship. And God said, you know what? I'm going to make a lasting covenant with you. Because you're a man that does things the way I like. You're a man after my heart. You know how to touch my heart with your worship. I'm going to make a covenant with you. Every single generation, I'm going to be with your family. Even the ones that mess up, I'm going to be faithful to you. If we worship, God's faithfulness. God is the great judge, and he keeps tabs of every time you're overlooked. Of every time you're passed up for promotion, God has not forgot. And let me tell you, the promotion that comes from the Lord for those that know how to touch his heart with worship is something you can't get that from anywhere else. You can't get that from anywhere else. The worship, the worship.
I just want to share, this is one of my favorite scriptures, and it's his victory song. 2 Samuel 22. It's very long, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to highlight certain parts of it. I'm starting at verse 17. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. He also brought me forth into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not acted wickedly against my God. For all his ordinances were before me. And as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless toward him. And I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness. And then he goes on to say, for by you I can run upon a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tested. He is a shield to all who take refuge. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is a rock besides our God? God is my strong fortress. He sets the blameless in his way. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. It helps me make great. You enlarge my steps under me and my feet have not slipped. This is my favorite part. I pursued my enemies and destroyed them. I did not turn back until they were consumed. And I have devoured them and shattered them so they did not rise. And they fell under my feet, for you have girded me with strength for battle. You don't find that if you're not in his presence. You don't find those types of strength. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also made my enemies turn their backs to me and destroyed all those who hated me. You have kept me as the head of the nations. A people whom I have not known serve me. Foreigners pretend obedience to me. It's just so much thankfulness and success out of what he did. The God who executes vengeance for me brings down people under me. I will sing praises unto your name. He is a tower of deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. You know, he went from somebody who people looked at as a nobody. And not only did he become king, but if you think about it, Jesus was brought through his bloodline. What a great statement from God. You know, it just says how much God had love for him. He blessed the generations after him. I really don't want to miss this opportunity. I know that we have to end, but it's so important to me that you have the opportunity to connect with God. And if you have felt that you have not been consistent with your worship, this is not about whether you did it right or wrong. This is about making it right right now. This is about connecting with God and allowing him to show you who he is to you right now. If you have felt that you have not been consistent in your worship, I just want you to come up and I want to pray for you. Everybody's eyes closed. If that was you, just come up and I'm going to pray and we're going to set this thing right. We're going to set you free from feeling any type of inhibition or allowing, you know, seasons to dictate what you're going to do and how you're going to worship. God, we just thank you right now. God, we thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you, Lord, that you are a God who overlooks our faults and you see our hearts, you see our desire to be close to you, God. And I pray right now, Father, over each and every person that's up here. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do what only you can do. God, let your Spirit just permeate each and every heart right now, God. That there would be such a connection and a feeling of your presence, of your arms wrapped around them, God. Right now, we come against anything that would be a blockage or in opposition to what you want to do or the sensing of your presence in this place. God, we ask you to set us free from every other thing that's not of you. We ask you, God, to give us the heart of a worshiper. We ask you, God, to help us get beyond ourselves. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would transform each and every mind, God, to think the way that you think, to see ourselves the way you see us, to even see you, God, in a different light. Father, reveal yourself to us in a new and a fresh way. Help us to see, God, the love that you have for us. Help us to see, God, that you are faithful, you are good no matter what. You are faithful, you are good, you stand true through all the seasons, God. Lord, help us to see with the eyes of the Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be grounded in your word, to not be shaken by any other voices, to not be shaken by any other thoughts, God, but to remain faithful to your word, faithful to you. Lord, let us have a heart like David had. Let us have a heart to serve you, to love you, to constantly be in communion with you, to constantly be giving thanks. Let your praise continually be in our mouth, God. We worship you today, God, and we ask that this not just be an act of emotion or an act just today, God, but that this would be a transforming day, God, that you transform our hearts. We thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have not left us without. We thank you, Lord, that you are expanding our faith. We thank you, God, that you see us through every single season, every single time, God. And I pray, Father, that we would have eyes to perceive what you are doing and how we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, how we are surrounded by your angels, surrounded by your love. God, to be able to do what we've been called to do and walk daily in our lives. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Now just take a moment. You don't have to be in a rush. Just take a moment in his presence and just listen to what he's saying to you.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.